Tonight we've come here with expectation, I hope, of hearing the word of the Lord, knowing that the Lord sees us and sees our needs and those things that we have need to hear, and I trust that my brother Andrew has prepared himself and has sought the Lord for what that we should he should present that we need to hear. And so I'd ask that you guys would make sure you pay attention and that you remove those distractions that you might have and be ready for what the Lord has to give us tonight. So I'll introduce my brother Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. I appreciate that special. Before the service, our sister, Michelle, came up to me and said, oh, this is going to be a special for your sermon tonight. She said, fit it in somewhere. And I kind of laughed a little bit, but in fact, I believe it does fit in. For each one of us someday will be called to come face to face with our Savior and to give an account of our lives, activities, if they be good or evil. Many times, as I prepare, I feel the weakness of the flesh. I feel that unworthiness that our brother talked about this morning. And I feel that I am unequal to the task that is set before me. But without fail, the Lord makes my weak things strong for His glory. And I appreciate that. The title of my sermon tonight is A Call to Righteousness, The Fight Against Sin, and the constant need for repentance and forgiveness. I would like to start off tonight in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Tonight we're going to talk about several different things, as the title kind of hints to. I guess I'm a creature of habit for the past 5-6 years of my life. I've stayed up many, many nights studying for tests and examinations the next day. And I find myself after graduation awake late at night, laying in bed. My body's used to being up. And so over the past couple weeks, I've found several occasions of the such that I was just laying there and I had my scriptures by my bed. And I decided to start to reading through the New Testament, some of the different books. Again, I've done it in the past, but to do it again and make notes on it. And I kept on seeing a reoccurring theme. And that theme was repentance and forgiveness. And sin and the sin, the nature we have in our sinning. And I figured that maybe that's for a purpose and the Lord wanted me to bring it to you today. So let's read starting in this 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I don't know about you guys, but many times in my life, I feel that that verse is playing out, that sin easily besets me. And despite myself, no matter how hard I try, if I pray, if I fast, if I study, it's always there. It's always besetting me in my life. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. No, the Lord Jesus came, that sin that besets us won't beset us anymore. He has came to make a way of escape for us. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I suppose that statement, that last verse, really hits me pretty hard. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, in a battle, many times, you expect it to be bloody. If you go out there to war through history, if you study from the beginning of time when they're using clubs and bows and arrows to our time where they use nuclear bombs and aircraft and whatever it might be, that a battle is not pretty. And that if you're a soldier in that battle, you're going to strive and you can expect to be wounded sometimes. There's going to be casualties. And I believe it's the same way in our spiritual lives. This is truly a battle that is set before us, and that if we're not careful, there are casualties. And that we have to strive against sin with every fiber of our being, everything within us, just as if we were fighting for our lives, our families. A couple of weeks ago, there was a sermon that talked about the liberty, a banner of liberty that I believe was Moroni wrote upon that says, for our families, our liberty, our freedom. They were striving against a physical enemy, and they were striving for their lives and for their freedom. Well, we are striving for the same thing every day spiritually in our lives. I'd like to turn over to the Book of Mormon and read a few scriptures. None of these scriptures are new. They're all scriptures I've preached in the past and that are familiar to us. This one's going to be found in the Book of Mosiah, the first chapter. And we're going to be reading verses 115 through 119. Mosiah chapter 1, 115 through 119. And it's going to start on page 217. For behold, as in Adam, by our nature they fell, even so the blood of Christ atoneth for their sins. And moreover, I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way, nor means, whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgments is just. And the infant perish not that dieth in his infancy. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they should humble themselves and become as a little child, and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. I suppose that the point that I want to make from the scripture is something we all know, but I believe it's good to be reminded of, that born of man, after the fall of Adam, each one of us have a sinful nature. And we're prone to do those things that are opposite of the Lord. It comes natural to us. And I can't tell you in my life, I can tell you that that's true. That those things which I shouldn't be doing, I find myself doing. And those things which I know I should be doing, like it says in the writings of Paul, which we'll read later, I find myself not doing those things. Let's go over to 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter. Second Nephi chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Yea, and there shall be many which say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and in it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God, he will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for your neighbor, there is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord. And their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry out of the ground against them. Talking about sin in the world today, when I read these verses, the first thing that comes to my mind is the college atmosphere, or the workplace atmosphere, and also the media, and entertainment, and many different things. But the attitude, especially in colleges, live for today. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about those little things that you do, you know. You can lie a little bit here, you can cheat a little bit here, you can take advantage of someone exactly like it says because of their words. But we know that as Christians, a sin is a sin. No matter how small, no matter how great. Those things that are talked about in the scriptures that are commanded for us to do or not to do, and if we find ourselves on the other side, it's a sin, and the Lord views it that way. So we see that we've been called through the first scripture for kind of a higher calling of the world. In the second scripture, it talked about the fall that we have. And this scripture, it talks about how a sin is a sin. Now I'd like to move on kind of to another section. This is going to be found in the book of Mosiah, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 74. It says, this is found on page 254, and we're going to be reading through verse 81. Yea, even that old serpent that did beguile our first parents, which is the cause of their fall, which is the cause of all mankind becoming carnal, sensual, devilish, knowing evil from good, subjecting themselves to the devil, thus all mankind were lost, and behold, they would have been endlessly lost were it not that God redeemed his people from their lost and fallen state. But remember that he that persisteth in his own carnal nature and goes on his ways of sin and rebellion against God remaineth in his fallen state, and the devil hath power over him. Therefore he is as though there was no redemption made, being an enemy of God, and also in the devil an enemy of God. And now if Christ had not come unto this world speaking of things to come, as though they had already come, they could have been no redemption. And if Christ had not risen from the dead, or had broken the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory and the death should have no sting, there could have been no resurrection. So this is talking about how in our carnal state we follow after those things of the adversary, of the devil, and that how this at this time was before the Savior had come. So this is kind of a prophecy of things to come, and how through the Savior's advent on earth, that it makes that way for us to return back into the presence of God. I'd like to develop this thought a little more and kind of move along. Hopefully you can see kind of a logical step process from the beginning through the end of the sermon. So the next scripture I have is in the book of Moroni, the 8th chapter. Book of Moroni, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. This is found on page 769. Behold, I say unto you that this thing shall ye teach, repentance and baptism, unto they which are accountable and capable of committing sin. Ye teach parents that they must repent and be baptized and humble themselves as their little children, and they shall all be saved with their little children, and their little children need not repentance, neither baptism. We know that these little children, we have a lot of little kids in the congregation. We have a couple, 4 or 5 babies that are very, you know, fairly young, and then some toddlers. And as they grow, they develop their understanding of the scriptures and of life. And at a certain age, and I believe it's different for each person, you become accountable for those things that you know. And that the Lord holds you accountable for those things, especially raised in an atmosphere as we have here, where we have church, and we come to church every week, 2 or 3 times a week. It says here that those little children, they don't have need for baptism because they don't have the capacity or the ability to sin. But for us, for their parents, for those who do have that capacity, we have a need to repent for those sins that we commit. In verse 12 it says, behold, baptism is unto repentance, to the fulfilling of the commandments unto the remission of sins. I know that the large percentage of us here are baptized and have gone down into the waters and have made that commitment. But I also know that there are those here that have not chosen to make that commitment. And it is a personal choice. I know many of us, even raised in the church, put that off far longer than we ever should have. And I believe that it's something that those who aren't baptized need to consider, that you are accountable for your sins. The Lord does hold you responsible for those things that you commit in life, and that you need to consider baptism and to consider those things of a more serious nature. Let's go to the book of Alma, in the 5th chapter. Alma chapter 5, reading verses 24 through 28. This is starting on page 324. It says, now I say unto you that you must repent and be born again, For the Spirit saith, if you are not born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, lay aside every sin, which doth easily beset you, which doth bind you down unto destruction. Yea, come and go forth, and show unto God that you are willing to repent of your sins, and enter into the covenant with him, to keep his commandments, and to witness it, unto him this day, by going into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doth this and keepeth the commandments of God, from henceforth the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, we shall have eternal life according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. Once again, I believe the key in these verses of Scripture is that you have to come down into the waters of baptism willing. It's not something that you do for, you know, going along with the crowd or because, you know, my grandpa or my grandma or whoever wants me to, but that you truly have studied the Scriptures, that you understand that you are accountable and that you understand those things, and that you make that conscious decision to enter in the waters of baptism and to take upon you the name of Christ and to have your sins remitted and to start down that path that the Lord expects of us. Now to those of you who are baptized, each one of us, speaking to myself as well, after you're baptized, is that it? Are you done? I mean, is it hunky-dory? Or is there more that we have to do? Well, I'm here to tell you that, like I said in the beginning, that it's definitely a battle. And that baptism is only the gate. And that the struggles, the true struggles, are yet to come. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. We're going to read verses 14 through 25. This is kind of a tongue twister, so please forgive me. I'm sure I'm going to mess up several times. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under the sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I not. But what I hate to do, that do I. For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that which I do, not, but the evil which I do, that I do. No, now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I want to stop there for a second. So, kind of to clarify what it said there in kind of a difficult way, is this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying, you know, I am a carnal man. And when I think about this, and I think about the next scripture, which is in Nephi, and how these are the pillars. This man here wrote a large section of the New Testament. I mean, he saw visions. The Lord used him to heal the sick and the blind and many different things. A great spiritual leader. And we're reading his words today. And the Lord caused it. They should be passed down to the generations that we may have it. But yet this man still struggled with sin in his life. I'd like to go on. Let's start in verse 21 again. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing into me captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here, he's talking about the two men, the natural man and then the spiritual man, the one that's been born again, and how that struggle will always be there. And I really like that scripture that says, when I try to do good, he said this is basically a law, it's a saying, it's what happens in life, that when I try to do good, the evil's there. And I think today, that is ever a bit the case, that as we try to do good, as we try to reach out and do those things that the Lord commands, baptism, for those that are baptized, to strive to do those things, to get rid of those things in our life that would drag us down, to purge sin from our hearts, that evil is there. And especially in this day of age where I believe time is getting shorter and shorter and events are speeding up and the spreading of the gospel through the world and a lot of exciting things are happening, that the adversary is going to be working just as hard to combat us in our personal life as well as the church as a whole. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi for another example. 2 Nephi chapter 3. Second Nephi chapter 3, we're going to read verses 28 through 47. And upon these plates I write the things of my soul, and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am! Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh, my soul grieveth because of my iniquities. I am encompassed about because of temptation and the sins which doth easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sin. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine affliction in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of the Spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that they should not be written. O then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? And why should I give away to temptation, and the evil one have placed it in my heart and destroyed my peace, afflicting my soul? So I put these scriptures in here because I wanted to show an example of two great men, two great men in the scriptures, one in the Book of Mormon and one in the Bible, who they're just like us. They had those things in their lives that they saw that were evil, that the Lord didn't like. And even though the Lord visited him many times, here Nephi talks about how the Lord saved his life and has given him prophecy and showed him many things and has brought him across to a promised land. And how at Paul has had many wonderful things happen to him. But how sin is an equal opportunity fixture. It affects everyone the same. And no matter how strong we think we are, or no matter how many times the Lord blesses us, it will always be there to drag us down. I'd like to read another scripture in the book of Mosiah, the second chapter. Mosiah chapter 2. We're going to read verses 48 and 50 through 50. This is talking about sin. And finally, this is found on page 223. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin. For there are diverse ways and means, even so many that they cannot be numbered. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and to continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I suppose this goes along with the other two verses of Scripture, and it goes along with what I believe the Lord has placed upon my heart. Sorry. I suppose that is it. You know, they're sitting within our midst. And, you know, I'm the biggest one. We really need to consider the time in which we live. Excuse me. The time is getting short, and that those little things in our life, the Lord expects us to take care of them. And to work on them, and to not let them cumber us down anymore, because He has a great work for us. That each one of us need to, as it says in the Scriptures, to examine ourselves and to find those things that are displeasing before the Lord, and to take care of them. And like I said, you know, I'm no better than anybody here. Anybody else? That each one of us in our lives have those things we must take care of. Sorry. Let's talk about repentance and forgiveness a little bit. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is Lord speaking, and He's instructing people here and us as well how to pray. It says, and we're going to start in verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will the heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." I thought it was interesting that the Lord here, as he gave us an example or a template on how to pray, that he, for one, in verse 12, he told us that we must forgive those who do us wrong, and that we must ask for forgiveness when we've done wrong. And then he goes down here after he's done praying, and he gives us two more verses to emphasize it, that is crucial as brothers and sisters in this body, in this congregation, that we forgive each other when we do trespass against each other, because we're humans and we're all going to have those times in our life that we raise our voice or we yell or we do something or say something hurtful, and we must forgive each other those trespasses, and that when we do that, it opens up the Lord's forgiveness for us. Also, we need to ask the Lord for his forgiveness personally. Let's go to the third book of Nephi, chapter 4. Through Nephi 4, we're going to read verses 49 through 52. It's going to be found on page 679. It says, "And now behold, as I have spake concerning them whom the Lord hath chosen." Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 4, starting in verse 49. Says, "And he shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And he shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me. And at that time of their conversions were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not." Here it talks about the law of Moses, and how we know, and we studied that in Sunday schools in the past, that in that law it was very specific that one time a year the priest, the high priest, had to go in and offer a sacrifice for atonement. We have the examples and Psalms in different places where David or different people, they did things they shouldn't, and they would offer a sacrifice to the Lord to atone for that sin. They'd offer that lamb that was without spot or blemish, and they would ask the Lord through that for forgiveness. But we also know that when Christ came, that he was that last and great sacrifice, that he was that lamb without spot, blemish, or any type of anything, that he was perfect, and he lived that life without sin, and that he was offered on the cross as a sacrifice for it, and that the only way we can avail ourselves of that sacrifice is to approach the Lord with that broken heart and a contrite spirit. I looked up the word contrite, and if I remember correctly, it talks about contrite being sorrowful. It talks about it being, I believe one of the definitions was even bruised, or kind of, you know, low or down, abased. So I believe that that's something that each of us in our lives need to consider, that we come to the Lord with that broken heart and humility. A lot of times I know I'm praying daily, and I just ask the Lord, well, you know, forgive me of my sins. And I'm not saying I don't mean it, because I believe I do, but perhaps there are times that we must go before the Lord, just like the high priest of old, and for the specific purpose of praying for forgiveness of our sins and to repent for those things which are displeasing for him. I have another scripture I'd like to read in closing. I know it's not very long, but this is just all that I believe the Lord's placed upon my heart. 1 John. 2 different places in 1 John. The first one will be in the first chapter, verses 7 through 10. It says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the trust and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make a liar of him, and his word is not in us. And then if we flip over to chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, it says, "Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law of sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the evil works of the devil." So those two scriptures, the one over here in the first chapter, talks about how if we come before the Lord with the real intent of heart, that he'll be faithful and that he will forgive us of those things that are displeasing. And over here it talks about how Christ is that sacrifice and propitiation that the Lord gave to us, that our sins may be forgiven. I hope that you have gotten something out of the scriptures that I brought forth. Just that, to reiterate a little bit, just that I felt a lot lately that, you know, the Lord is calling us to a higher standard. That, especially perhaps to the young people, that a lot of times we let things go we shouldn't. And that a lot of us aren't so young anymore. And that responsibility for leadership and for the continuing on of the Lord's gospel isn't too far from lying within our hands. And that now is the time for us to grab a hold of it and to make those steps to go forward and to be numbered among the Lord's people. Thank you for your time.